Hello, everybody. This is Mo Elias from Big Apple Art Gallery on Framing in New York City. This is a podcast of the Framers Only Facebook group for picture framers. You can always find us at framersonly.com. Today, we have with us Bob Phipps, the retail doctor. And Bob wrote books that I have, and he has podcasts, and he has a lot of very consumable, very good content that I follow online and offline. So today we'll be talking to him about how to improve our business, picture framing business, and you all get to ask him questions. For everybody who joined us on Zoom, I have everybody on mute. So what you do is you will see a virtual raise hand button. Please press that and I will go ahead and unmute you. The reason for that is I want to keep the environment clear of people maybe sipping tea, sipping water, coffee, and this way everybody gets to enjoy that. And you get to ask Bob directly your question via your own voice. And also, if you enable your camera, you'll be able to do that. Now, everybody on Facebook, please tell us which cities you're from. Type in live, type in my name, say hi, say hello. This way we all get excited. And we give Bob a very good welcome. Okay, so hold on. Let me switch over just a second here. Okay, hi, Bob. I have you on the screen. How are you?
I'm excellent. Yourself?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for doing this for us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Sorry to make it so quick. I'm busy traveling for the next couple of weeks. So I was like, let's do it tonight. So I appreciate that, Mo.
Yeah. I contacted Bob yesterday and I thought he's not going to respond back. And he was very cordial. And he said, well, when do you want it? And I give him some dates and he said, how about tomorrow? And I said, tomorrow is beautiful. And here we go. So here we go. So Bob, tell me a little about yourself. How did you get started and how did you become the retail doctor? A lot of my friends know you. I know you, not in person, but obviously as your persona, the retail doctors. Tell me how you got started in your background.
Do you have a couple hours? No. The quick story is I put myself through college working in retail for 4 years. I sold shoes, actually. That was my main thing. And basically, I got my degree in conducting. I'm actually a conductor. And when I went into student teaching and there's 30 untuned guitars with teenage boys trying to play Stairway to Heaven, it's like there's not enough gin on the planet for me to take this job. And I fell back to retail like a lot of us do, right? My part-time job became my full-time job. And I sold cowboy clothes through the 80s and early 90s and got the highest increase at South Coast Plaza. And one day I just said, if I can do this for them, I can do it for anyone. And I went to a Tony Robbins seminar a couple months later. And Tony's one thing was, you better come up with a brand nobody else can do as well as you. I'm like, I can do this. And literally I got home and the next morning I filed the trademark for retail doc, for the retail doctor, and did that. And then once that was done, I happened across a little coffee roaster and basically did an incredible business makeover of him, took a lot of local publicity, called the New York Times. Hey, are you interested in a story about how a little guy beats the big guy? Sure we are. So that launches the book, the speaking career, and the LA Times asked me to do business makeovers. And really, there's an awful lot of happenstance that happened there. But I would just say, those of you who think, oh, this experience isn't going to do much for me, you never know where it's going to take you. So that's the brief of how the retail doc got born.
That's pretty cool. So you got to call the New York Times. So who did you call? I'd like to call somebody at the Times too.
Well, at that time, the reporter was, I just followed, like I would tell anyone, which if you want to go on a little side bend, I'll tell you how to publicize your business.
Sure.
But the first thing is you always read the publication. I can't tell you how many people will cold call me like, oh, and I'm like, this isn't my market. Why are you trying to get me on it? So always read it and then look for the, especially nowadays it's easier because every writer is going to have a link to their Twitter or something. And you just, it's one sentence.
Yeah.
Would you be interested? How? The problem is most independents, like we're having an anniversary. No one gives a damn.
Yeah.
We got a new line in. No one gives a damn. You know, it's like my writing instructor, Jack Graves, says in Los Angeles, your story is boring. It's how you tell it that makes me care. So it's the same thing for you. If I was, and I could monopolize this entire conversation. So
go ahead. That's fine.
But if you're going to use Facebook Live videos, and we could talk about that later, if that's what you're going to do, then you better call up the reporter and say, would you be interested in how a small independent business is a brick and mortar business is competing against Amazon with a 20% growth due to using Facebook Live videos? They're going to be like, tell me more.
Sure.
If they can't say that, you are just saying what you think you want to look. It's easy. But if you craft it so the reporter says, tell me more, then you'll get it. Like, we all know that you're a Mo and you're an amazing picture framer. But does anyone other than you and your family and mom care? No, we don't. What I have to care about is, you know, five tips for how to frame your child's drawing that's going to make it stand out for years to come, or anything like that, that they go like, oh, I could use that. Tell me more. As long as it meets that test, you can get publicity.
I see. You know, I got in touch with you yesterday and I said, well, how do I grab his attention? Right. I took a screenshot of the book. I put it and that was good. Right.
I mean, I
got your attention.
That got my attention, dude.
Yeah.
By the way, there's the book in case anyone wants to know it. Just sharing The Retail Doc's Guide to Growing Your Business.
Yeah, so I bought the Audible book and I sent him a screenshot. I said, look, I bought this in February. I like it. And I listened to your podcast. Would you do a thing for my group? And then I waited for him to respond. And as soon as I saw him, it said seen, I said, I would like your feedback. And he said, yeah, I'll do it. And that was great. And I'm sitting there next to my wife watching TV. I'm like, woohoo, this is exciting. Okay.
That's so funny, because if you just said that to me, like, I would have just probably done it anyway, but I want you to know that you did exactly the right thing, because I was watching it on my mobile phone. Sure. And so not until I went back down in the morning in my office did I see the full part of it. But it's like, if you just let me know that you have a connection to me, I will move heaven and earth for you. And I think that's the main thing that I try to get to all of you who are watching tonight, which is, look, people go to a brick and mortar store because you can give them a feeling. And that's a feeling they matter. And as long as you do that, people who feel they matter are going to buy more. You showed me that I mattered, so I'm willing to give you my time this afternoon. But when you're struggling, it usually means I don't feel better having come to meet you. And I won't treat myself because I don't feel like I'm part of the, you know, I don't feel like you have your arms around me and you're going to help me do what I want to do anyway. So I'll be like, well, I'll just do it the cheapest. So there's a lot we could talk about today, Mo, but I'm excited to be here talking to your picture framing buddies.
Same here. So, Bob, you brought up a point. You talked about a big glass company vendor, and also you talked about Donmar Molding, and both are one of my big suppliers. Tell me the connection there, because I didn't realize that until you told me.
So as the, you know, I moved to New York in October 1st of 2008. Yeah. And as the whole thing is starting to crash, I still have a house in California. So I'm kind of struggling. And literally within 3 weeks, I lost five of my biggest accounts. They just said, like, we aren't going to be hiring speakers for a long time. And up and comes this email from TrueView. And they're like, do you know our product? And it's like, oh, it's museum glass. I use that. I have a pretty extensive art collection. I was like, oh, I know museum glass. I use it all the time. And like, well, that's great, because we want to present you to several of our dealer networks around the country. And would that be something you're interested in? Like, dude, I'm there.
I'm all
because
over.
Because not only am I a customer, but I also understand the importance of a great frame. And I said, my frustration with most framers is you are an artist.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't charge for my work. Well, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Or you expect me to say, you know, I have a budget. And I think my first picture I ever got framed was a copy of Georges Seurat, Sunday in the Park with George. It was kind of big.
Sure.
It wasn't as big as the original.
Yeah.
But it was like almost a grand. And I remember thinking like, holy crap.
Yeah.
But the guy, you know, the guy that sold it to me and helped me treat myself, that guy drove a new Mercedes every 2 years. And I am fine with that. Right? Yep. I am fine with that, because I always remember how beautiful it was when people walked into my house. I only remember the price today because you and I are talking, Mo. But at the time, I don't ever think of it. I just remember the way it looked spotlit on a wall. And people were like, is that the original? It's like, yeah, no, that original is, I don't know, 100 feet. So
I want to ask a question. So this is a good segue about the guy's Mercedes, right? So we get a lot of customers who come in, and almost all of them are so much more affluent than we are, or I am, right? The guy comes in with a nice Porsche, with a nice BMW. People come in with a Rolls Royce. They pull over and I look at it. So I tell my guys, hey, look, we cannot afford the things we sell. Sometimes we'll be selling a frame that's $1,500, $1,000, $800. But we think of the customer as how much can we afford. When we drop a frame down and we get $800, all of a sudden I'm thinking, man, that was a lot of money. I don't know if he's going to buy it. What is your feeling about that? How does one overcome that sense?
So first off, the problem is you know how much things cost. So you already feel like you are an imposter, like I'm trying to get more money than it's worth, right? Yeah. I wouldn't pay that. Well, think of something you would pay money for. You know, I tell a story about, you know, this young guy who's working at a gas station and saving his money to be able to afford a $30,000 set of clubs because he loves golf so much. What you have to remember is there are two worlds here. So the first world is, there's your world. It's frame world. And you understand everything about it. You know all the moldings. You know what goes with what doesn't go with what. You have perspective. You've got the mats. You've got it all, right? That's your world. Except there's this other world, Mo. The other world is, I'm a CPA. And my whole world is, I look at spreadsheets all day, and I hate my job. But I have three kids. I'm putting them through college. And I'm also an art collector. So I have the money now to come visit your world.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, I'm visiting your world. So I want to take the money that in my thankless job as a teacher or a doctor or fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And while you might say, well, in framing world, we wouldn't take the scribble that your daughter did and you think that it's great. We wouldn't put that under museum glass. And God forbid we would give it a great frame. What you're missing is you're working in frame world.
Yeah.
What we're working in is CPA world, doctor world, teacher world, that this is the child that they thought they never could have. And after 20 years, they finally adopted a child and it's their begin all and end all. So when they come to visit you, the worst thing you can do is pour your water of frame world on my world, which is, you know, you don't need museum glass. You know, this will be good enough. You don't really need to use that big a frame. It isn't a matter of artistic choices. Yeah. You are deciding that this is all I can afford. And the problem with that is you are settling for crumbs when you could have the feast, but you're still caught up in frame world. I know we spent, you know, it cost me $300 for this molding, and God forbid if I make a wrong cut or something, and I'd have to charge $900. Okay, great. Or museum glass. It's so expensive. There's so much waste. Well, then you price it to get rid of the waste. Because let's face it, framers, I did a business makeover of a buddy of mine's frame shop in Manhattan. And the boxes of broken glass and leftovers that I might use someday could kill a horse.
Yeah.
But if you don't price it in, you're still thinking it has value. But it's like, no, price it in and damn it, you're worth it. You know, there's an awful lot of framers that didn't make it. There's a lot of framers that don't deserve to get an awful lot of money for the job, the schlock job they do. But you're an artist, but more importantly, you're a business person. And so I hope that you get that loud and clear, that I take no prisoners. Look, I'm not on this recording today to be your best friend. I'm here to tell you what nobody else will do, right? You're following people who are like, oh, hang in there, baby, or oh, Amazon's killing us, or some franchise. And then you all just talk back and forth. Meanwhile, customer walks in the door. And you let them walk around. Or I bring in my artwork. There it is. There's little Janie's artwork. And what's the first thing you say? What's your budget? Well, what am I going to say if I'm a visitor to Frame World? I don't know how much to frame. $50? So now you look at me like, oh, what a cheapskate. Meanwhile, I'm still here.
Sure.
I'm visiting your world.
Yeah.
And you let me get that for $50. And you know who loses? Everybody loses. You lose.
So what would be the proper question to ask?
I'm sorry?
What would be the proper question to ask when you come in with that piece? What do I say? What would be the proper question to ask?
How do you want to feel when you look at this?
How do you want to feel? Oh, I like that.
What do you mean? Mm-hmm. Well, on some people, they might say that's just a drawing. And they might say, you know, this is going to be a gift for somebody. I don't really care a lot. Other people are going to realize, wow, I'll never have this moment again from my five-year-old. I want to preserve this. And then there's other people who say, I have no art in my house. And the only time I want to be able to put something is something that I can really spotlight. So, you know, or that's so much better, isn't it?
Much better.
You have a budget?
Much, much better. Budget is it, you know,
killer.
I think that, but I shouldn't say that. And I generally don't, but you would, sometimes it just comes up, but it shouldn't because I'm here to make money. And I want to sell.
But so what happens if you say budget? So now what happens is, so there's my little do not post this as a social media thumbnail. So there I have my little thing, right?
Yeah.
And so what I do is I go through and you show me that for, I don't know, $50,
yeah,
you can put a black frame around it and a cheap little thing. And I'm like, is that it? And you're like, yeah, $50, that's all. Meanwhile, maybe I would have spent $500.
You could have, sure.
And you could have had this amazing frame that had doodles or something, or, you know, my favorite, my daughter's favorite color is gold, and I could have put a purple mat to it, not because you want it, but because I'm visiting Frame World,
yeah,
and you're helping me feel like that would really be awesome. But we don't get in those conversations because we're not curious about why today would someone bring this into me. Instead, it's how much you want to pay, get the hell out of my shop, which that may not be the attitude. But that's what it feels like when you start with the wallet.
Yeah.
Because it's like, get out of here. Or yeah, people say, oh, you know, I spend all this time with somebody and then they walk out. Well, that's because of you. Yeah. I'm sorry. So if here's another thing, Mo, that I would do. I'm giving you all my best tips. I hope you're not going to use this. if I was a frame shop, so you come in and I say, how do you want to feel when you look at this? So tell me anything. Just doesn't matter. Just role play with me. What would you say?
Well, I tell you what, my little boy here, he just said, hi, daddy. So he gives me a nice drawing. He goes to school, brings me his drawing. I am so proud that he came home with this drawing. And I want to frame it beautiful. I want to look at it and I remember my boy's first drawing.
Okay,
that's what I want to feel.
That's a great way to feel. I know the closest I would have is the first time I got my book published and the first copy. It's got to be close to that.
Very close.
So here's how we work, Mo. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask you a few questions about where it's going to be, the kind of lighting, you know, how much room we want around the artwork, things like that. Then I'm going to actually show you a few examples of what we call matting to frame it. We might even use a couple of those. Yeah. We'll look at three framing choices, and together we'll come up with the best way to frame your five-year-old's picture so that, you know, in 6 weeks when it's done, you'll be able to look at that with that same pride. In fact, maybe even elevate it a little bit. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds great. And you never brought up price. Right?
So what did I just do? I've told you this is the process.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my arms around you and said, this is the way it's going to work. But what did I also say? That I'm expecting you're going to buy this today.
Sure.
I'm not like, oh, we're just going to play along. Yeah. I would left out, I'll ask for deposit. I should have put that in. I'll ask for the deposit at the end and in 6 weeks, because I also want to get ahead of it, because most of you framers get pissed off at us. Let me tell you as the voice of a consumer. Yeah. So I give you a deposit for $200.
Yeah.
As soon as I gave that to you, I leave. And now what am I thinking about? Like, so when am I going to get it? Now you may have told me, oh, it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks. I don't care. A professional framer should send an email to this customer that night saying, hey, Bob, I just want to let you know it was great spending time with you. This son's 5-year-old drawing, we're going to do it amazingly. Here's a picture of what we're working on so that you remember it, because it's still going to take me about 3 to 4 weeks. I'll let you know when the frame is in and I start work on it. And then my goal is that by December 14th, you'll have this, but you know, that might go either way, just confirming. So what have I done? I put my arms around you again and said, hey, I know you're anxious about it, just reiterating everything we said, but that's not what we do. I get some little receipt on a little piece of paper that mm-hmm. says $250 down and maybe some gobbledygook, we'll call you when it's ready. Framers wonder, why do people get upset and why don't we go back to framers? Because you aren't giving the same care to my frame that I am to my kid, because you're in Framing World. Well, I don't care. I'm not going to work on the weekends. Yeah, but you forget that I'm in this world. I visited you.
Yeah.
I don't understand that you might have 20 more, or maybe you have 10 more, or maybe you have no more and you're just lazy. But if you just spend the time to craft an exceptional experience, I think you're going to find that life gets easier. I mean, framers, so picture it. Wouldn't you like to be able to know that people are raving about you when they get their works? Wouldn't you like to know, to picture a day when you're delivering a work and people are like, I've been waiting for this. This is so great. We have a party celebrating it. Wouldn't it be great to picture a day that you're actually taking more money out than putting in? But it starts with you, because either you can believe it or you don't. And ultimately, these people believe it about their business. So why can't you believe about it? You can, but it starts with you.
So Bob, how does one get improve their skills and what you just told me? How does one get improved? Because what you just told me was beautiful. You know, whatever the issues that we have, customer comes in, and we give them a nice professional.
I hate that. Wait, I'll be with you. Yeah.
Right? And in 3 weeks, it says it right there, due date, you know, December 25th, whatever. 3 days later, customer calls me and goes, hey, Mo, when is my job going to be ready? I'm like, it was on the receipt, man. But sending that email, that's beautiful.
Well, just think about it. So let's go to the category leader, Amazon. Yeah. What happens when I put an order in? Immediately, your order confirmation. What's the next thing?
When do I expect
order is
it?
On the way.
Sure.
What's the next thing? It's been delivered. What's the next thing? Would you give us a review?
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
So why is it that picture framers act like it's the 50s and you don't have email? And God forbid you aren't getting their email and address, so shame on you again that that's money you're losing, because you know what? People who have money that spend it on framing and art, they usually know other people that spend money on art like them. And so where do we learn it? You know, I have a complete online retail sales training course. It's called SalesRx. You can go to salesrx.com.
What is it?
SalesRx, like Dr. RX, .com. And what it's designed to do is to be able to take a customer from the three steps in a sale, which is quite simply engage the stranger, discover the shopper, make a customer. Most of framers, most retailers are only caught in that last thing, trying to make a customer. Unless you build trust, again, you're settling for crumbs when you could have the whole feast. Because if I spend the time and tell you my dreams and I say, you know, how would you like to feel? And the guy says, I don't care. But somebody does say, oh, great. Then you say, oh, I have a couple of options for you. And you start at the top, which is again what we cover in SalesRx, which is start with the most expensive. How does this look? And just start talking ranges. You know, this could be something like might be $1,000, but it might be down to 800. Oh, that's terrible. Well, I just want to see if you understand the, you know, if we can see some of the similarities to it, we can always go a little cheaper. Why am I doing that? Because most of you are starting at the bottom. Yeah. And you take that, you take my kids' work and you say, well, you know, we can do this with a simple little black frame and maybe a little white mod. And so what is the customer going to say? Well, that's good enough. Oh, but we could also do it. It's too late.
Too late. You already lost it, of course.
You had your one shot, baby.
Yeah, I agree. So
I hope you're encouraged, because my goal is to provide hope to you. So go ahead, Mo. I didn't mean to step on you.
Oh, no problem. Okay, Kathy, you had a question. You raised your hand. Can you unmute yourself? I made you available. Meanwhile, I'm going to take a couple of questions. Sue Gatlin says, if you were a custom framer, what would you say in your 30-second elevator speech? Thank you so much, Bob. So Sue's asking you, what would be your elevator speech if you were
customer? What would that be? Like you're at a mixer somewhere or somebody asks what you do?
Yeah, possibly so, yeah. Maybe at a Chamber of Commerce meeting.
Well, I think everybody's a little different, and that's the other thing that you have to find it out. You know, mine is I help retailers compete against Amazon and the like by creating engaging shopping experience that's actually branded so that they will not go anywhere else. One sentence, that's it.
That's
so
it.
For you, what's a 30-second? You know, I'm a 30-year picture framer who takes people's most treasured art and drawings and elevates it to a new level so that they feel something every time they look at that.
I like that. That's beautiful.
Because what happens now, you're like, really? How do you do that? It's just like the publicity we talked about, Mo, right? Because as long as you get me to go, tell me more, then I think you have a winning recipe. But if you can't say that, like you take your buddy out, a friend out, let's go to Starbucks, you try it out and you're like, so what do you think after that? Oh, it's good. That's not what you want to hear. You want them to hear like, how do you do that? And you want to actually see them lean in. Because when they lean in,
you got them. All right. So Mickey says, what a great way of having you, of you explaining it. This previous today, my Rolls Royce analogy. And I like it. I like it a lot too. I'm going to take some Facebook questions. I have people from Australia, from St. Louis, California, Virginia. Miranda's from Australia. She's saying, I always think framers have a great opportunity to engage customers and build relationships. We have the chance to discuss their family, home, emotions, etc., and never have to talk about the weather. A lot of retailers would love to have this opportunity. So she made a statement. I agree. Susan Bonnie, I never ask for budget. I agree. Eric says, is there a good way to ask a customer if they have a budget?
No.
No, period.
How would you possibly ask that? So if I showed you a frame that was $500, would you like that? I mean, you know, you could, if you really, I'm not a fan of this, but if I was, I might say, when framing your art, do you like to go to something like the dollar store, or do you like to go to something like Macy's, or do you like to go something that's like totally over the top? Mm-hmm. Now, that might be a way with budget. The problem with that is most customers, I think, would confuse that with the look. So like the look would be over the top, not necessarily the cost. I just think framers, look, you know, all right, so here's a quick story. So my grandfather used to love fresh corn. In fact, my grandfather would grow the corn in the backyard, and he would have my grandmother put the water on the pot, and he would walk in and cook it a certain way. So I have a friend over the summer, about to make corn, and I'm about to put the water on, and he goes, well, that's not how you cook corn. I was like, no, this is what my grandfather did. Oh, he's the one that did it. He's like, well, that's not the way to do it. And he actually showed me another way to cook corn. I think we all have a time when we did something because we didn't know better, or we did something because, well, I heard that. And suddenly when we are willing to let go of that, we find that, wow, there's actually a better way. And there actually is a better way to cook corn, but you'll have to ask me about that later. But it still comes down to, we get become this creature of habit. Yeah. And then we fight, like, oh, I can't do that. Or like, I have an article about picture framers on my blog.
Do you really?
I remember posting it. And I think some picture framers group was just like flaming me, like, those who can do and those who can't teach. And it's like, all right, so you're going to kill the messenger. I hate to tell you, but framing is going to continue with or without you. The difference is people are going to drive out of their way to come to you because of the job you do. And if you're still sitting on your laurels, so here's the thing I like to say, Mo, when you bought your or started your picture framing, once you're 28 years, what are you?
28 years. I started right after college.
All right. So imagine if you go back to young Mo 28 years ago and a customer came in with something like this, you would do anything and everything to get
that. Oh, yeah,
sale,
absolutely.
Yet most of us get lazy and fat, and it's like, oh, you go help them. And we forgot what got us there.
I agree.
I hope on this video you will hear that, you know, you have a choice. Do you want to just keep doing what you're doing, telling me how miserable it is to be you, and then telling all your buddies, or do you want to start over? Because you can do this tomorrow morning and just say, I've got to find out a new way to do it. And yeah, whether you use SalesRx, whether you want to buy my book, at the end of the day, the smart people are looking at, how do I brand the experience in my store that nobody else can have? Because it's not about selection. Most just think, oh, we'll just add another line. But I got to tell you, as a customer looking behind you at like 800,000 black frames, that looks like work. And I don't really want to do that. Yeah. Your job is to make the complex simple, because I'm out here. I'm still in this world. I'm just visiting you. You have to get me to be comfortable in your world and not expect me to adapt to you. It's the other way around. Does that all work?
Yeah, of course it works. You know, I had a customer who called up, asked me for a price, and I talked to him for about 5-10 minutes, and then he showed up about 2 hours later. I gave him a price. It was an expensive job. It was maybe a $1,200 job, I think. And then he looked at me. He goes, you know, the shop down the road quoted me a little cheaper. And I looked at him, and I said straight up, I said, well, how come you're not there? He goes, you were pleasant to talk to on the phone. And I said, well, then, you know, let's just talk about it. And he bought it. He was just giving me a hard time about getting it cheaper.
Now, see, I would have joked. I would have said, well, you know, since I know that, I can charge an extra $100. I would add up, because when we can find laughter in a sale, sure, everybody relaxes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking for those options to try to kind of keep it light. We're just talking about picture framing, folks. It's not like your redheaded guy roofing a home in Arizona in the middle of August. You know, you're working in a great environment. You get to choose your hours. You get to choose the materials. You can be an artist, but the goal is to make money. And I want you to be making enough money that you can go on vacation and not feel like you're a slave to going in there and doing something every day.
Bob, I want to take a question. I want to come back to that vacation one, because that's a very good point that you brought up. Miranda says, what are your thoughts on millennials? They are so savvy regarding searching for lowest price.
Well, isn't everybody? Look, I have news for you. There's always somebody cheaper, always.
Yeah.
You know, quick story, Mo, a buddy of mine is a stained glass artist and he is in Vancouver. And when China reunified or wherever it was and Hong Kong got switched over, suddenly he had all of these Chinese artists coming to Vancouver and they are dropping their prices. They're doing like a third as much as him. And he's like, what am I going to do to compete? It's like, dude, you got to raise your prices.
Sure.
No, that doesn't make sense. Why would I raise my, I said, you're down with them.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the same thing that, and I know some of you are like, what a jerk, but raise your darn prices. If you think it's only $150, bring it up to $199. If I'm going to pay $150, I'll pay $199. You don't have to, you know, some of you want to eke it out like, oh, the museum glass is 16.99 or whatever. We don't need to see that. Just round it up because you're getting caught in the weeds. What we care about is how will that feel? And if I was a picture framer, I would even have a spotlight on a wall or something that I can say, so you see how that's going to look on your wall? But you've got to get us into a feeling.
Yeah.
You're caught up in this like you're a mechanic working on an engine, and that's just not fun for anybody because it's suddenly, let's face it, it's like, what, 20 minutes? It's at least 20 minutes.
At least 20 minutes, sure.
So that's a long commitment. So if you can say, let me explain how we work, or may I explain how we work, and they say, okay, I'm going to give you care just like I'm going to give this artwork, just like I'm going to give to Johnny's drawing, because I don't know how much this means to you, but by seeing the choices we make, I certainly will understand it. And then what am I going to do when they're done with it? The follow-up email is going to be really simple. Please send me a picture of Johnny's artwork in the shrine that you've made it, and let me see his face when you do it. Anything you can do to continue to show that I care about where it's, I care about where this fits in your life, not that it's a quarter inch frame with a, you know, all that other stuff.
Bob, I had Matt ask me a question earlier. Matt, I made you available to speak if you're still ready. Matt was asking about the redecorating the store after Christmas. And his question was, Matt, are you there?
Looks like he's still muted.
He's still muted. He's working the shop, and he said he may not be available to speak.
All right. So what's his question?
His question is the redecorating after the new year, and he wants to know how could he leverage the redecoration into gaining more customers and more sales.
Well, the question is redecorating. I mean, I'm doing a business makeover right now to the studs.
Uh-huh.
So when we're done, this is going to be like a holy crap kind of party. Because that's a big relaunch. And if you're just redecorating, like, you know, we moved all these pictures around, I don't think that's interesting. If you're going to
I think he's doing more than that. I'm sorry.
You're going to recarpet. You're going to do all of those kind of things. As long as it looks a lot, I would certainly start talking about it now that, you know, we're going to be closed for 3 days and we're going to have a grand reopening party on some day, and make sure you set that. And then start doing behind the scenes Facebook videos throughout that process. Over here, this is what we're doing. Take a look and all of that. And then cover up your windows that time and don't let anybody see it. And this is when you come up with enough excitement. And always make sure you have food for that grand opening. But you invite the press and say, hey, you know, are you interested in a store that's taken a brick and mortar? We've been in business 25 years and we have gone through an entire relaunch of the brand using social media. Sure. And now you just have coffee with them.
Yeah.
But you have to have the hook that we want to know more. And then when people come, what's the most important thing? Get their email addresses or have them log into Facebook to get your Wi-Fi or like your page. But make sure that you're finding a way to hold up with them. So I hope that helps.
Sure. Okay. So hey, I have somebody. I'm sorry. I don't know your name. It's Samsung. Go ahead.
Hey, Bob. Sorry, Mo. It's Mehdi from your hometown, maybe, of Costa Mesa, where you started in South Coast Plaza.
Dude, I started in South Coast Plaza. Are you talking to me or Mo?
I'm talking to Bob.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, my house is about 2 miles from South Coast, and my shop is down on Superior, so you probably drove it.
Of course. My first client was the Bay Shores Peninsula Hotel down there on the Balboa Peninsula.
Very familiar with it, and I read about it when you spoke about it. My question is, I'm big into being a disturber, changing the industry.
Okay.
I have I bought a small shop, but we grew it from 2 employees to 18 over the last 3 years, and it's still growing. How do you make how do you make something that really disturbs the industry? How do you make something that really is a game changer in the industry that you can really announce to everybody that, hey, I'm doing it different from everybody?
You tell me, how are you different?
Well, our new product that we're launching is we're launching a simple pricing, and we're going to be doing it in 24 hours for pickup or 48 hours delivered to your house. So that's our new big move.
Yeah, but why do I give a damn? No offense.
Because you don't have to wait 2 weeks to get your artwork.
So you'd have to be framing it that it's all about convenience, and you'd be talking about the phenomenon of Amazon Go to scan and leave, or Amazon to deliver to your trunk, or some of that. I think it's a reach to say that that's what most people want. I'm a little stuck with that. So in your press or something, you'd have to be talking about, because most people, I don't know the day matters to them, and I hope to God you're going to charge for this service.
I will. Well, here's the thing: is I have two kids, and when I see a mom come to my shop and have to load her kids and go to a store and have the artwork printed, bring it to my shop, drop it off, and have to wait 2 weeks. Right. And I come back with the kids again and pick it up. It just seems like a big pain. So it's a problem that I see and I'm trying to solve.
Well, but it could be buy online, pick up in store. Or you could be that they
it
could
is
have
buy, a it is curbside, buy online.
Could be a white glove curbside service. I would say, I wouldn't look at it as a low price thing. Personally, I would say you'll deliver it in 2 days and hang it on the wall at the perfect height. That would be me. You gotta go with what customers give a damn about. I don't know that it's the hour, that it's the 24 hours. So I'd say try it. But the fact that you're looking at it, I think that's great. You know, it's just getting the adoption to be really disruptive isn't going to be based on price. It's going to be based on convenience. And for God's sake, man, you're in Costa Mesa, which is the highest zip code around. So don't sell yourself short. I hope that helps.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maddie. Christy had a statement. Christy, are you available? Wait, Christy, speak up a little bit if you could.
Let me adjust the volume, okay? Let's see. Does that help?
Yes, that helps. Much better, yes.
Okay. I typed this to you, Mo, but I'm looking at this from a slightly different perspective. We're a 41-year-old business, and we got 10 employees. We're pretty busy most of the time. About half our work now is corporate. And I find this, actually, I took a lot of notes, Bob, during your presentation. I think that helping people feel that they matter, letting them know that you have a connection to them and that you want to form one, is also really important on the corporate side. We give a lot of quotes. We get a lot of the jobs, and we're not the lowest priced group out there by any means, but it's because of the service and because of the personal connection. One of the things that I'm searching for a way to do, we do a monthly newsletter. We get a lot of newsletters, email addresses in the shop. I'm looking for a way to forge that connection in our newsletter. Any thoughts?
Oh, the personal connection, you mean, Christy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're really going to do it, you're going to use a sophisticated CRM that's going to go through, and it's going to be able to auto-populate their first name and something about their purchase or something. Are you going to have buckets that you can do that? Even better would be you could go through. See, here's the thing. I think we are in the end of mass communication. Everything is going to be a one-on-one. So I use a company called BombBomb, and I'll make a video to people who buy my product from me and do a welcome, and I'll explain how the product works, and we'll set up another meeting. Why wouldn't you do that for $1,000, $1,500? Take your best customers and go through that. The trouble with newsletters is they're very passive, and they're very, usually, I don't know yours, but usually they've got these real generalities to it, whereas a corporate guy, if you knew him better and he's in Irvine Park or something, and you could talk about something about the challenges of being at the Fluor Corporation, former headquarters, or something that would really stick with him at your top level, that to me is where I would spend the time. In fact, that's what we're just had our two new employees that we're looking at how to go through and really create a exceptional experience, because I realize there's just only one Bob and I can't do it all. So I hope that helps.
I didn't explain that very well. I'm sorry. The newsletter goes to our retail clients. This goes to people who have been in the shop. It's an opt-in newsletter. But yeah. I realize that may be somewhat old technology as we move forward. So we need to find a way. We have good open rates.
Yeah, but that's a battle. I mean, that's email is going down and down and down. As Google, you know, you don't know how many times you're coming up as a spam or a marketing email or in a million things, and people can see it in the browser and it'll show as an open. It's not really opened. It's just showed up as a preview pane. So don't kid yourself with your numbers. All that matters is, are you coming up with enough relevant information that people want? And again, the reality is, I don't think about framing every day of the week. I know that's hard to believe, but I'm in my world, and my world is I need a framer like once a year or, you know, 8 months. So me getting more and more information for you doesn't make it better, right? The key is, how do you make it so I feel so good and so compelling, and you've crafted everything from the moment I came in contact with you to the time after, that I can't, you know, I sit down on a chair and I remember your brand, my butt is branded, I can't go anywhere else. There's a reason people drive Harley Davidsons, is because it's got brand loyalty like no one else. And if you're Suzuki or Honda or some other ones, it's a lot tougher because people aren't getting a tattoo of you. So I hope that helps, Kirsty. Any other questions here? Because we're going to have to wrap this up in a little bit here. Mo?
I have one question for you, Bob. Okay. This was forwarded to me earlier. Most people, East Coast, West Coast people, are having trouble hiring people. Good help, we pay pretty decent, and we're always having trouble getting good help. You know, I pay $18 that starts, and I get people who really you would think that they can't even get a warehouse job, and they come in and they want to be picture frames. How could somebody combat that situation?
So it's funny you say that. In SalesRx, I have a whole course on hiring smarter. It's a lot more than just a little bit. But here's the key. You know, I think most people don't give care with new employees. We don't train them well. We don't treat them well. We kind of throw them in the deep end, and it's like, go wait on the customers. Meanwhile, you haven't really told them how to greet a customer, find something in common, discover the shopper, give them a tour of the store, being able to explain the feature benefits. And so you let them kind of find their own way. And the problem is that employees, especially millennials, want to know exactly, what is your definition of done? What are the tools I need to execute this 100%? And if I do this, what are you doing for me? Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of baby boomers don't want to manage that way. Well, they're entitled. Well, great, you win. So they're entitled. What are you going to do? Work in your store all day? Or are you going to change and say, wow, this is the most positive, hopeful generation, educated generation ever, that if they need anything, they're going to go on YouTube and figure it out. They don't need an awful lot of time. But what they do need, what everybody needs, is making sure that you're onboarded in such a way that sequentially builds up the task and the necessary skills so that they do nothing but meet with success. And I know many of you are watching this saying, oh, we do great customer service. Really? Well, I tell you what, give me $100 and I'll mystery shop you. And let's see if you get a 10 out of 10 on my score. Because my guess is your friends tell you you're great. And my guess is you treat people that he's driving a Porsche, I'll treat him well. But if a guy walked in with baggy pants and kind of worn out and a gray hoodie and flip-flops like Zuckerberg, who owns Facebook, would you really give him the time of day? Oh, of course we would. Really? Really? Because I've been dressed in a three-piece suit and gotten pretty rotten treatment in an awful lot of places. And it always boggles my mind to think, wow, you must be making a lot of money here because you sure don't need me. And you know what? I'm probably going to be telling my friends. And we all kind of hang together. We look at art in those. So again, I hope you will take whatever we've been talking about here today and take some action, because you can hear it, but all I've done is expose you to what I think works. And a lot of brands seem to think that what I talk about works, whether that's Lego or Yamaha or, you know, Omega or a bunch of other brands, but I've only exposed you to it. If you want to learn it, you're going to have to be trained. And the difference is, exposure would be like you watching Serena Williams in Wimbledon. Wow, I see her. Therefore, I can play Wimbledon. Seriously, no, you can't. All you do is you understand the game. But until you're to be in Wimbledon, you're going to practice backhand like 150,000 times mm-hmm. until your body can't do anything different, just like you do with picture framing. Until you've done the hard work of knowing you can't greet somebody saying, hi, can help you find something. Hi, looking for something special. Hi, how you doing today? Until you learn that you can't let that body say the same damn thing every time, you're going to struggle. Because most people who study shopper behavior go, we could never say that and get a sale. Yeah. But yet we're lazy. It's like, oh, well, we're a picture framer, Bob. We don't have to. Great, you win. But you can't be chatting on your chat boards and saying how, oh, it sucks to be us and our materials are going up and those damn employees are $18. I'd pay $25.
Sure.
Because what we don't look at is reward. Holy crap. If I could be away from my store for one day extra, what would that be worth to you?
A lot. That is worth a lot.
But we're penny wise and we're walking over dollars to save pennies. You know, I go into framing shops, they turn off half the lights in the afternoon to save money. It's like, you're seriously missing it. Your goal is to think, how high is high?
Bob, I know we have to go, but I have a couple of questions. If you don't mind, I want to take
Sure, hit it.
Okay, so
Margaret says,
she says, hey, Mo and Bob, thank you for doing this. We'll be listening to Bob Thursday morning on Facebook from Ontario. Michael Mixon says he's got a question. With a joint marketing campaign for our industry, working today's market, since not many folks ever venture into a frame shop.
I would love an example of that. So what would that be, like TrueView Museum Glass and one of your molding people? Is that what you're thinking? Or it would be like...
probably thinking a collective of all our industry small retail shops getting together. You know, the toy industry has a certain...
Astra.
So he's probably thinking something like that.
Anything is possible. I just think that that a lot of times we're looking for the easy answer. You know, the hard is, so I appreciated whoever mentioned my Facebook live video, shameless shout out, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. I do about a 15 or 20 minute Facebook live video. And I've done that for about a year and a half, provided I get at least 5 questions on a Wednesday. And I've been doing that because I know that I have to figure this out. I would love to have a reality show, or I would love to be on TV, and I am on TV and stuff, but I need to be able to think like that and be able to access those words. Because I have to figure it out. Now when I go through and do that, I'm going to actually transcribe it. And I'm going to be able to realize, like, wow, I really know about that subject. Maybe that's a blog post. Or maybe I'm going to actually use that as a podcast. Or maybe I'm going to end up using that and putting that on YouTube. And I start looking at, wow, I can take that one piece of content and do a lot with it. So I do a whole Facebook Live video training. I used to do it as 21 people. That was too long. I'll probably be doing that in about a week. But
I enjoy it. I watch them almost religiously every week.
Oh, what a guy. It's not really a art as much as just understanding I've got to get these people to feel just as much as an audience feels when I speak to them. Because I put on a pretty great show, and don't get me wrong, I'm a speaker, so I'm full of myself. But at the end of the day, if you don't feel something across this monitor, if I'm just here talking about, like, so buy this book from me, and, you know, I have existing employees require more explanation. And I have all these bullets. And if it's all about me, 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 no one cares.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But if you do a video to me, three ways to frame your holiday, put a frame together with your son, and you're going to do a craft project, and you're going to show we take a piece of paper and we cut it out a certain way and we do a certain thing. And with the idea that maybe they'd buy a frame afterwards. But if you have something fun like that, then people share, like, oh, well, that's fun. And then when they're looking for a frame.
Even if I'm a framer, I'll do it with my kid. That's actually a fun suggestion.
I'm going to be watching you, man.
Two more questions and I'll let you go. Eric says, what about follow-up emails to customers who have not made a purchase in a while?
So if you're going to do that, get on the damn phone.
Get on the damn phone. All right.
Hey, Mo, I saw you used to buy an awful lot of art for us. I haven't seen anything framed. Do we need to take you to an art gallery or build an extra wall? Hey, give me a call, because maybe you can get to them. Maybe that's the follow-up. But all paths should lead to the phone, because an email is too passive. Next.
Next question. Last question. Rob says, question for Bob. I have set up my shop as an open kitchen concept. How does he feel about that for customer experience? I don't know what an open kitchen concept is, but I think he means he lets the customer go around and pick their own frames.
Yeah, that's, I guess it's okay. Again, how am I going to pick my own frames is probably based on what I know it costs. So I just think it sounds lazy to me. Sorry, dude. I mean, if you're going to set it up like an open kitchen, well, then there's still a chef. There's still all these stations that we're watching people work. So that could be interesting. Millennials will certainly like it. And then you could capture it with video. That might be interesting. But make no mistake, you have to drive your body first and know what it can say and not say and edit it so that you are choosing, I'm going to say good morning today instead of how can I help you or some of that other crap. You're going to go through and craft that experience in your frame store so that I am not going to forget it. In fact, one of my users of SalesRx called me up the other day and he said, you know, it's really working. And I said, well, how do you know? Because he already told me the numbers are working. And I go, well, how else do you know? And he goes, oh, well, I expect a wow experience in my store. I said, that's great. And how do you know that happens? He goes, I stand out in front of my store on a Saturday afternoon, yeah, and in 1 hour, I damn well better hear, wow, that was amazing.
Oh, wow, like, really?
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
But he said, my whole goal is managing my crew. Because if I make them, if I train them so well that they create an exceptional experience, the rest takes care of itself. He said, my competitors don't do any of this. And they're off on a Saturday, like, oh, I'm the boss, I'm off. He goes, but I know that's my money time. And if I don't inspect what I expect, then I will not be in business another 20 years. And so that's my last thing to you, that I get, it was easier 30 years ago. Well, you know, all of it was easier. But at the same time, gas was about to run out on us, if you remember. Right. And there was a million things. Look, we're living in the best time we are because we're living right now. Opportunity is right there for you right now. So if you are crying the blues, make sure that you've got everybody's contact information. If you don't, if you do, put it into a CRM. If you don't know what a CRM is, check it out. HubSpot's got a great one. I use the paid version of it. They have a free version. You could get used to it. But you start saying, I've got to hold on to the people I know. And then how do I create that exceptional connection with them so that they say, I wouldn't think of going anywhere else. So I hope that helps, Mo. I've really had a good time with you tonight.
How do people get in touch with you? Can you give me some of your social network?
Oh, sure. So check out, well, of course, go to the mothership, which is retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. That is, we just named the number one blog for retail for 2017 and 18 by FeedSpot. Nice. Pretty proud of that. Check me out on LinkedIn. I'm one of the top four voices on LinkedIn, just Bob Fibb. You can find me there. The Retail Doctor, of course, on Facebook and, of course, on Twitter. But the main thing to do is you just do a Google search of me. You'll see a lot of people want to hear my thoughts. I don't care what you want to hear. Are you willing to take action? Are you willing to say, wow, I don't have to cook corn that way. There's another way. And when you're open to that, I think you're going to find, not only are you going to enjoy life better, but you're going to have your customers saying, wow, I don't know what changed, but I like it. And that's the best thing they could say for you for the holidays. So I wish you all a great holiday, Mo. I would love to do this again in the spring. So yeah, put it on your calendar, chat with me in February or March, because I'm out to change the world with the people working and shopping and retail. And that comes from opening your heart and being curious. And if you do that, the sky's the limit. I'm Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doc. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Bob, for doing this interview. We all appreciate it. I hope you all enjoyed today's show. This is Mo Elias, FramersOnly.com. See you next time.